to continue discussion of items, any of the items between B and I in the preamble for, you know, toward the end of possibly including them. Or do people not want to proceed with that discussion? Okay, so all those who want to continue discussion on those points, raise your hand. One, two. Okay, and all who don't want to. One, two. Well, obviously, okay? So, then we go to the KPFK Unity Caucus principles. The activities of the foundation are supported, and that's in your document, in the big document. The activities of the foundation are supported by communities of listeners, volunteers, paid and unpaid staff and contributors. Because the basis of the foundation's governance is democratic, and because of the primacy of the tradition of volunteerism in the foundation, all of the roles and relationships within the Pacifica communities should promote collaborative processes where, to the greatest extent practicable, all affected persons are consulted and given an opportunity to be heard, both within the structure of governance and in the management of the foundation. Any comments on that paragraph?
Excuse
me. Yes.
Excuse me for the
microphone, please. Thank you.
Jabari, are we working on bylaws?
Yes, it's in the document.
I mean, where does this go into the bylaws?
Section... it's Article 2, Section 3. It's right there in the main document. Page 2. Top of page 2. Section 3. Principles, policies, and practices. Recommendation. See it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just asking.
It's before us, so I just want to know if people want to leave it in, modify it, or take it out.
That's a rhetorical question, right, Jamari?
Talking about the section. I'd rather take it out.
That's right. Okay. Other comments? Any other comments? Are people ready to vote on it then?
I have a comment.
Okay, microphone. Getting all sloppy around the microphones here.
I can see justification for having a statement of purposes and then a statement of principles, policies, and practices. I don't think this statement says much, though. Except that we'll be collaborative. I think I'm reacting to it somewhat like Jabari is, that it's bylaws bloat or something. In the attempt to consolidate things, a lot of principles such as racial diversity and things that were very important to the KPFA committee that would be in the principles, policies, and practices are left out, and all we're left with is collaborative, so I don't particularly like it.
Okay. Are there any other comments? Can we vote then? I think the proposal was to take it out. All those in favor of taking this paragraph out, raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. And all in favor of leaving it in? No, all opposed.
To taking it out.
To taking it out. One. Abstentions. Three. So I think it comes out.
What was the vote again?
It was 6-3-1. No, 6-1-3.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we go back to the binding policies from that come out of New York also, that come out of the Unity Caucus in New York. And there are 1 to 8 points here. Do I need to read this?
We just went over this.
No, we went over A to J. Right. It's not in the document.
Right.
It's on the set piece of paper that we were given. Somehow just didn't get in the mix when the document was put together again. Okay. Do I need to read them out loud? Or can we go right to comments? Oh, okay. Let me read. I'm sorry. So just take a minute here for folks listening. One, the foundation shall air national and local programming that addresses the needs and interests of diverse communities, especially those marginalized by the predominant media. Two, the foundation shall select and treat all volunteers, staff, management, board, and committee members with non-discrimination and affirmative action based on race, nationality, immigrant status, language, religion, class, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, appearance, and disability. Three, the foundation shall work diligently towards the goal of a workforce, including management and paid and non-paid staff or unpaid staff, that reflects at least the percentages of diverse peoples of color, immigrants, women, non-heterosexual people, and people with disabilities in the combined single areas populations for the national offices and in the relevant signal areas populations for the local stations. 4. Recognizing the pervasiveness of racism and sexism in society, the foundation shall foster leadership of women and people of color from diverse backgrounds and shall set a goal of at least 50% representation of each group in all foundation decision-making and advisory bodies. 5. All Pacifica facilities, public meetings, and events shall be accessible to people with all types of disabilities as determined by standards including but not limited to those set by local, state, and federal laws. 6. Pacifica broadcasters shall be free to include discussion of the Foundation's internal business in their programs. 7. The Foundation recognizes paid and unpaid staff as employees and their right to seek union recognition under a common collective bargaining unit and to contract for their rights. Whenever the paid and or unpaid staff of any Pacifica unit chooses to be represented by a union, the Foundation shall engage in good faith negotiations with that union to contract for the terms and conditions of work at that unit. And 8, the Foundation shall accept no funding from for-profit corporations except through programs for voluntary donations by employees. That's it. Those 8 points. Comments?
Can you just explain what binding policies, exactly how that affects the Foundation, what it means?
That's a good question. The question is, what does it mean to say binding policies? How does that get implemented? What's the effect or impact on the...
These are meant to be followed up as the next section in the bylaws, the next proposed section says. These bylaws should be augmented by resolutions of the board and local station boards and operating guidelines and so forth. So this is kind of like the Bill of Rights, saying these are the basic guarantees that must exist, and then it absolutely has to be enforced and implemented through much more specific legislation by the elected boards. But it's trying to build in something that would be tough to repeal because of the standards of amending the bylaws as far as two-thirds and the vote by the members and so on.
Okay, comments. Jabari and George.
Well, if these are policies, first, I think we're getting sidetracked because we're supposed to be doing bylaws and we're not even going to get enough way through the bylaws, and now we're dealing with policies. But also, I think this needs to be serious discussion, in my mind, over 7 and 8, because you get into a lot of legal issues based on state employment issues and laws. And also, I'm in really total philosophical disagreement with 8, and that's something that would need to be a long and vibrant discussion based on what our strategic vision of the Foundation is about. So as a basis of policy, we're here to conduct bylaws, meaning I would like to get on with doing stuff with the bylaws, and on a basis of substance and content, I have some serious reservations about the substance and content of those two items in these policies. So I would rather just move on to deal with bylaws.
Okay, George.
It's George Barnstone. I echo my colleague Jabari's feelings. In regard to specifically number 4, and it calls for 50% people of color and 50% women, as Jane, I don't know her last name, was having a conniption fit over. You know, using that as a standard, you'd have not one white male on this board. I don't think that's quite what our goal is here. Then secondly, the idea that you have no donations by for-profit corporations at all. You know, if we get a grant from the Ford Foundation or from some company to do some programming, that's a good thing, y'all.
Okay, the Ford Foundation is not a for-profit corporation.
Whatever, but I mean...
It's a foundation.
Whatever. Yeah, for companies. Well,
Sam's Auto Body Shop. Yeah.
And corporation is the most democratic form of ownership of a business entity.
Right. Okay. Let me just. Jabari has basically proposed that we not include this in the bylaws.
Table it.
Table it?
No, not include it.
Whatever the
right
number.
Not put it in the bylaws. You want to make a motion?
I move we not put it in the bylaws.
Okay, and the second.
I second it.
Are we referring to the whole document or just
the binding policies, 1 through 8 that I just read. 1 through 8, the binding policies. There's a proposal that this not be part of the bylaws.
For example, I see number 6 specifically says that it will not be any gag rule. Why should we oppose
that? It doesn't say that, right?
It says that we
shall be free to discuss internal business in their programs. But there is a gag rule. My point is that there are constraints upon what can be said in terms of confidential personal matters, and there's also a constraint currently, I believe, in place, or at least I think there should be, saying that you can't use the air to try to gain advantage in an internal station dispute regarding, for example, programming and so forth. It's very vague in general. I mean, the principles are good. Again, much like the preamble, I put this on my wall. I don't think it belongs in bylaws.
Exactly.
Let me just also say something. I wouldn't put it on my wall, but
I'd edit it first.
Trust
me.
Much on the wall already. But I would like to look at each of these things more thoroughly when we do a policies and practice guidelines. That's where I think this kind of stuff goes. I don't think it's bylaws appropriate.
Can we make a motion?
It is on
that regard.
There is a motion to not put it in the bylaws, right?
Yeah, but.
You want a motion to refer to the practices guidelines, policies.
Exactly.
Whatever. Okay, we
would. That would be a friendly amendment.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Jabari, is that acceptable?
It's not even related to that, but in our. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay.
All right. I want to speak here. There's a motion on the table.
Yes.
The next board is going to be the ones that are going to be developing policies and guidelines. And we can give them a stack of papers that we've accumulated over our tenure.
Right.
I'm sure they'll get several more stacks of papers from others. And, you know, I think that's kind of meaningless to say we refer it to them. They're going to have to deal with all of this stuff. I'd just like to limit the motion to let's not put this in bylaws. This is policy stuff.
Okay. All right. Is there agreement on that? But, I mean, that's what the proposal is.
Can I just clarify one small point? Number 3 was...
I'm just going to give him 30 seconds to clarify his...
Number 3 was in a different category. It was passed by a straw poll. The concept of number 3 was passed last meeting by this board as a duty of the local boards. So because of concerns about language... The Pacifica Anti-Racist Working Group, which came up with this in the first place, went back and very carefully worded it. So you have already supported this concept. The only reason we moved it here was in talking with Rob about trying to compress different things. So it's fine to not put it here, but you've already agreed this concept should be at least under the local duty, station board duty.
Okay, so it should be moved. So then it'll be there. Okay, so when that gets... refined, we'll make sure the language is good there. Okay, so I'm calling the question here. We're going to take a vote that these 1 through 8, except as Bob just pointed out, will not be part of the bylaws. All those in favor of that, raise your hand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and all opposed, 1, and abstentions, 1. Okay? So, so then this policy implementation paragraph on the top of page 3 is also, we don't need. Does that refer to this?
Right.
I'm right about that. Okay.
Okay.
Now, yes, Carol.
What that the result of those three votes cumulatively says that we now have a section reading Section 3, Principles, Policies, and Practices that says Pacifica is committed to peace and with social justice and seeks to involve in its governance and operations individuals committed to these principles. That's it?
Right. So we might want to call Section 3 principles.
Just principles.
Right. Okay. Okay. So moving right along, I think we should now go to the next outstanding item, which I believe is the diversity goals, Article 4, Section 5, which has to do with the election model. Right. Yes. I'm sorry, George.
What happened to the top of page 3 of the policy implementation?
That's scratched because that was in reference to items 1 through 8. So we're not putting 1 through 8 in there. So then it's not relevant. Yes, Deb?
Is there anywhere that will state in the bylaws, I think this is the only place right now that says that the bylaws will be augmented by the policies through resolution of the board?
You don't have to say that.
Okay.
In the bylaws. I'm my understanding.
You don't need that
in the bylaws. That's the way it works. That's the way the real world works.
I think we'll follow the laws.
Right. Okay. Now, so we're on page 7. Page 7. Yes. 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 Okay. Now, I would like to just for the... To help us out, I would like people out there to just sit down until I call on you. Someday when you're all elected and are sitting here, you'll understand what it means. But it does, it's disjointing, you know. Okay, now I think everybody knows, right? There's no big secret. This has been a controversial issue and a confusing issue and a difficult and important issue for us to figure out. We had a lot of discussion. Yesterday we had discussion in Houston, you know, two meetings ago, in D.C. a meeting ago. It's not like a new issue. So we do not, I believe, need to go through all the argumentation on all the different perspectives again. What we're trying to see is where we are and can we get to any agreements or, you know, just try and move this ahead. Now, I do know that there are, first of all, there are two major concerns, I think. One is whether or not there's uniformity in the election model. And then secondly, especially if there is uniformity, what is that election model? Right? So there's two questions. Uniformity or, and by that I mean, page 7.
Direction?
No, page 7, section 5, local station diversity goals and requirements. So the first one question is the uniformity. That is, will all five stations have the same structure to their elections, or will each station board be able to figure out its election model within the parameters and guidelines set by the board, of course, by the national board? That's one thing. And then secondly is, what is the election model? Now, I know there were a lot of discussions last night, well into the night, and I know at least one group of people has a proposal to make that's offered as a compromise. No?
Okay,
we'll let you speak to it in a second, but what I think makes sense is if we could hear that group of people that has a compromise proposal to put forth, to just hear what the proposal is. We don't need all the background stuff. We need to get right to the core of it now.
And I'd like to make a point of clarification.
Oh, you're not on a microphone.
Okay. Paul. Okay, at some point. Paul. I'm calling. I thought you said at some point you wanted to make.
That's what I mean. I need to get it in.
Paul, hold on 1 second. Let's let Barrister go and get his point. Miguel, sit down. Patty, sit down.
Point of clarification. There seems to be some confusion about what the WBAI Lab Bylaws Committee really wants. The board is proceeding, it seems to me, as if it is an established fact that the majority of the WBAI Bylaws Committee supports the constituency model.
No, we're not.
This is just not true.
Okay.
I was present at the WBAI Bylaws Committee meeting on Tuesday evening, November 12th, when the vote was 15-4 to support the KPFA elections model and to reject the constituency model. The following Tuesday evening, another vote was taken. That's November 19th. The vote was 29-10 with two abstentions. This is overwhelming. Therefore, it is illegitimate to treat the constituency model as if it was the choice of the WBAI Bylaws Committee. It is wrong, okay?
Okay. Barrister.
So if those board members voting against the unified election process voted to allow WBAI to go its own way in the belief that you were deferring to the wishes of the WBAI Bylaws Committee, the evidence, the straw vote record proves that the opposite is the case. Then why is the interim board talking about giving WBAI the right to choose their own electoral mechanism? And with regard to Donna's compromise, I mean, the spirit of the compromise comes from a good heart and wanting us all to work together and get along. But the compromise is meaningless if the constituency model itself is invalid and illegitimate. Okay?
Okay.
Finally, the interim board straw vote in Washington was against different voting mechanisms for each station board. Now the board is split on the very same issue. Is this madness? Or just indicative of the board members being tired? I am respectfully calling upon the board members to rethink their position on electoral mechanisms in the light of the fact that the WBAI Bylaws Committee is overwhelmingly opposed to the constituency model. By extension, I am convinced these listeners would likewise oppose the watered-down Donna compromise. Thank you.
Okay. Again, my understanding was that not the hybrid model that Donna put forth, but that late into the night last night, I don't know how late, that into the night last night, there was more discussion among some people. That I'm not saying this represents thorough discussion with everybody who has an opinion on this, but I would like to just put out on the table, let us hear, you know, some people were working on this issue. Let's hear. Maybe they came up with something. Maybe we won't like it, but let's hear what it is. Okay, and then we'll take some other comments too. Paul, you're gonna.
Yes.
Are you gonna do the same thing as Mika?
I'm gonna get on the mic.
No, it's okay. Okay.
Paul Surabelle from the WBAI listening area. I'm the co-coordinator of the WBAI committee for a unified membership. Our committee, as you know, has submitted 520 signatures on petitions.
No, Paul, we want the compromise
okay.
that you came up with last
I'm
night.
I'm just trying to say that. To preface this by saying that the compromise is consistent with the 520 signatures which you have received from us, from WBAI listeners. All right. The idea in the compromise is as follows. It is to allow the board to adopt a uniform diversity mechanism, electoral mechanism. That electoral mechanism would be based on the KPFA model. Within that mechanism, and that mechanism being 50% people of color, 50% women, and the actual mechanism by which it's enforced is what's called an algorithm, which takes place after the voting to assure that the results reach the desired standard 50% 50% people of color, 50% women. What we are proposing is that local boards would be required to adopt that mechanism. However, within that mechanism, local boards would have an option to set aside seats for five categories of people of color, which are generally consistent with the census demographics. For example, in the New York area, for example, within the 50% requirement for people of color, the board could set aside four seats for African descent candidates, four seats for Latinos, one seat for an Asian, one seat for a Middle Eastern, one seat for a Native American. Now, that would be an option of the board. The board could stay with the basic KPFA diversity requirement of 50% people of color, 50% women, if it's so desired. But again, if it wanted to be to specify seats within the, within that category, they could do so. We're also suggesting that local boards have the option of adding two additional constituency categories to the basic diversity requirement, and those categories would be the disabled category and a category lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. The way the model would be applied is that voting would take place exactly as it takes place within the KPFA model. Listener sponsors vote. Nominations take place exactly how it was decided yesterday. You would have to add two categories, disabled, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, in terms of how the candidates would have to identify themselves. Voting would take place exactly the same. Nominations would take place. There would be, if the, these diversity requirements or these specific requirements were adopted, there would be more pressure to do outreach to achieve these results. But essentially, it's the same. It's the same process. It's very, very intense outreach, community outreach, seeking good candidates. And the election takes place. What how it differs from the KPFA model is that when the counting is done at the end, there is an algorithm which assures that these results occur, that four African descent candidates are seated, four Latinos, one Asian, one Middle Eastern, etc. And we have confirmation from David Green of the KPFA listening area, who I believe is responsible for the KPFA algorithm. And he has written to us by email that it's doable. And I have the document here. He describes specifically how the mechanism would take place after the voting occurs to assure that you could have this specific breakdown of constituency candidates within the KPFA model.
Okay. And Miguel wanted to add one quick thing.
I have a question first.
Can we just let Miguel add the quick thing, and then we can ask them either one of them.
Basically, and what we're trying to do with the proposal was trying to see what the situation is and trying to understand that the whole idea of it is to bring people together, because I've been, and based on my experience, the fact that people sometimes get so passionate about some, the way that they bring and the way, how hard they work and bringing some proposition here, that the people are not really thinking and propose something that maybe is not something that we really like to see, but it's something that somehow can bring us together and come up with a solution to one issue, and we can move forward and bring some kind of peace in some signal areas that is really having a big problem and by those by law.
Okay.
So that's
okay. One. Thank you. Okay, Ray and Charles Carroll Jabari.
First, I had a general question as to there's this form of a compromise. Who worked at, was involved in working at that compromise? Also, I wanted to know, you have two proposals here about different options. Is that a choice, one or the other, or can you have both? I'm talking about the proposal option to have set aside five categories, and then you also have two constituency categories after added.
Okay. Okay. The compromise was developed.
I'm reading this, by the way.
The compromise was developed by the WBI Committee for a Unified Membership. It's our proposal.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I thought it was a compromise in two different
groups. No, there was no joint, no discussion with the other groups.
So it's a compromise offer.
It's a compromise offer. As far as the options, yes, everything except for the basic KPFA diversity requirement, that's mandatory. Boards must adopt that diversity mechanism. What's optional, both of these are optional. You could choose either to designate five seats for categories of people of color, or you could choose to designate the five seats of people of category color and the two additional diversity categories of disabled, lesbian.
So it's and or.
Yes. These
and you mean
and/or.
Categories, not seats, not five seats, five categories.
Five categories. It's more than five seats.
Okay, I have Charles Carroll Jabari.
Okay, I got a two-part question. How many listeners are in the WBAI?
Charles, you want to get right into the mic?
How many listeners are in the WBAI?
As far listeners or subscribers? Listeners, about 200,000. Subscribers, it's roughly 20,000 at this point.
Okay. And secondly, first I'll say this: diversity is of critical importance to me.
Charles, I'm sorry. You
I'm
have to
sorry.
Get right up to the mic.
The diversity is of critical importance to me. The question is how do we allow for the various changes in our society over a period of time when we dictate, and again, I am in favor of a diversity method of ensuring that that happens, but the issue is truly how do you dictate the changes in society? You know, right now, the Latin community is the fastest growing community in the country. Recent demographics, I think, state that the Latin community has recently surpassed the African-American community in this country. So, you know, and that's just an example of how do we address this, and then how do we address all the various subcategories of various diversity groups? You know, if you look at, you say Latin, but I could say Honduran, Mexican, you know, and then when I say Latin, we're talking about Latin America. We're not talking about the European Latin countries. If we talk about black people, we talk about I guarantee every black person in this room has a different ethnic heritage history if we wanted to, and with different interests and different emphasis in their lifestyles. The point that I'm making is that there is, this question is so large, how do you propose to answer this question with such a narrow proposition?
I want to hear more comments or questions on the board, because then maybe you can answer a few of them. Carol is next. I want you to wait, because there may be some other questions, and you can answer them all together. Carol.
All right, I have a few comments. One is that this is a proposal from some people in New York that other people who had another proposal have not even agreed that we should consider, or that it meets their concerns. I heard Beresford forcefully state that there are a lot of people in New York who don't like the constituency model. This is an attempt to compromise with the constituency model, and we don't know whether or not they will accept it. I want to emphasize that point. But as I understand this proposal, it says all stations will be required to adopt the KPFA model minimally, and that under the KPFA model, nominations require a certain number of signatures. People do not register to vote by an ethnic or racial category, and a white person can nominate an Asian person. However, the vote is conducted by a proportional representation system that sets some minimums. 50% of those elected must be women, and 50% of those elected must be persons of color, with no further breakdown as to what categories of persons of color. And the way our system works is if that doesn't happen under the natural vote, people will be moved up and seated. As I understand this proposal, the local boards then have an additional option that they're not required to do, to set aside some other basic diversity requirements for up to 5 categories of people of color and up to 2 additional constituencies, such as disabled or lesbian, gay. That's not required, but they could. David Green, who does the algorithm for our proportional representation voting system, I saw his memo about how this could be done. It is doable. It does allow the 5 stations to set aside at their option, to answer that question of yours, themselves. KPFA could choose to do it differently than Houston. If that's the proposal.
Okay, and I was under the impression that they wanted the KPFA model to, or it was an issue of uniformity across the network. And again, that issue represents, should there be future stations added or something, you know, if there's growth in the future, then, you know, how do you establish some type of standard mechanism so that should a future station be added, how do they develop their local station board and their diversity issues? And again, my statement is more, should be more thought-provoking than it should be an issue, in the sense that this thing is a changing animal, and maybe it should be some type of a statement that represents the ability to morph as time changes?
Well, you know, Charles, there's a couple of issues here about bylaws. Bylaws have to be sufficiently specific that people know what to do. Otherwise, they're not enforceable. So what this would say is specifically every station would have to meet the 50% women and people of color. That's what this says. You may not like it, Charles. But
no.
It says that every station would have to meet the basic diversity requirement of 50% people of color and at least 50% women. In addition, each station would have the option of doing some other requirements, such as there should be 4 Africans, 4 Latinos, 1 Asian, if they want to. But it's not required.
Okay, can we just hear from Jabari? Jabari was next.
Jabari's here. I have, well, as a person who doesn't even think, and as this process has vividly shown, that as long as you have elections to people to sit on a finite number of seats, you're going to have chaos and competition for scarce resources.
I didn't hear the first part of what you said.
Chaos. You will have chaos and competition for scarce resources. Finite number of seats, a large body of people. But what this doesn't address, because I would fundamentally say that diversity as a goal is already a policy, is already a desirable, is already something that should be, it should be emphasized and instituted within personnel policies, programming policies, and all the other policies and guidelines that the foundation should operate on. But as this whole process makes crystal clear to me, if not other people, that somebody is going to have to be the arbitrator and the determiner of all these classes of people. But it fundamentally doesn't even address what the whole point of having people sitting on the on these station boards is supposed to be about, in my mind, and that is people who are working to fulfill the mission of Pacifica. Okay. So we are now, again, engaged in a discussion of artificial criteria for sitting people in a limited board structure just to merely satisfy superficial, non-mission-based criteria. So as long as we do this, we will miss the point. And yes, it is doable. You can and will be able to devise any system to meet these criteria, just like the tax code, okay? And that doesn't work either, okay? I'm trying to get rid of that, too.
I'm trying to get rid of this.
So I'm just saying fundamentally, I would not even, if we have to deal with it, if you really think you have to deal with it, and I don't think this is even a necessity for, as a criteria for determining a selection on station boards, but if you really deal with it as a policy issue, as not as a bylaws issue, so we can get through the bylaws. Because it is not something that is required that needs to go into bylaws. But again, fundamentally, it doesn't even address the issues of whether these station board members are actually going to be in effect, in fact, acting in the name of fulfilling the mission.
Okay, thank you. Okay, can we let Paul? Yeah, I want to let Paul answer some of this stuff.
I need to interject one thing, Jabari. The board approved the 50% diversity mechanism. You had a straw poll on that. What happened is this is in the recommendation under Section 5. The board approved the 50% people of color, 50% women diversity mechanism. The board approved the KPFA nominations procedure. The board approved listener sponsor membership. The board approved, by a 5-4 vote, a uniform national model. Everything that we're proposing is consistent and a follow-up to what the board approved yesterday. All right? However, the board ran it, got into a roadblock when an alternative compromise was introduced, and then some people expressed the idea, well, I kind of feel sorry for New York. Maybe we should let them do their own thing. And then we got completely derailed, okay? So we are attempting to address this concern on the board that New York be allowed to you know, have certain options available to it in the context of the Unity Caucus proposal, and that is the purpose of this. And it's an option. It's an entirely optional as far as to go beyond what the board has already approved. Charles, to just a comment on you.
Yeah.
This is a fluid proposal that is adaptable in the sense that what we're saying as far as the racial and ethnic categories, that be designed to be consistent with consensus demographic information, that not just be arbitrary numbers, so that if the population shifts, then the distribution of the seats would shift as well, if the board so chooses.
In a sense, this was self-serving from the perspective that, you know, in the sense that historically civil rights in this country have been led by the African-American or black communities, and when we see the change in demographics, other minority interests will grow to have to step into those shoes and lead those shoes, but yet, again, the African-American experience in this country, when it comes to, you know, civil rights, and that's basically what these diversity of issues are addressing, you know, the experiences of various people trying to bring them together. It's just critical that we think about, you know, not only demographics, but those changing demographics and the implications of those changing demographics.
Okay, again, Paul just spoke to that issue about changing demographics. I have Janice. Then I have four people out there that are now C5.
I had another question.
Ray.
What? I see Roger now, so it's five. No, okay, now I see one, two, also. It's 20 to 11, right? We do not need to go over ground. We've gone over and over and over, right? We need to get some clarity here. I want to hear from Janice. I want to hear from Janice. And I want to, excuse me, everybody, stop with the hands and the mumbling and the, I want to hear from Janice. In about 5 minutes, we're going to need to take one of these little breaks. Janice,
I'm not going to take that long.
I understand. So let's hear from Janice and Ray.
Thank you.
As our board people, and then see where we are with the clock, because we have to take the time, and then we'll figure out how we're going to handle the rest of this discussion.
I'm still torn about what to think about what we're going to do. We have three factions in New York, and that's what you all are being subjected to right now, is trying to make a compromise among these three factions. No, that is a fact, and there are.
Okay, let's just say three groups.
Okay, that's not as charged. I'm sorry, but initially, I haven't been really reading the things the way I should because, as I've often said, I just don't even like dealing with these things, and I find that I start reading them and my mind starts wandering. But now, recently, I have really paid attention to things. And I've said it before, Ray really changed my mind about a lot of stuff the other night. I had said that I didn't like the Unity Caucus constituency model because I thought it was too complex. But the principle of self-determination really speaks to me. And I think it's something that I know I haven't heard addressed outside of the sort of narrow circles of black nationalism or things that people consider off the mainstream. And it's something that really, to me, is very important. And it's something I'd like to see incorporated somehow into what we're doing. And the other reason I wanted, had felt that I wanted to support the constituency model was reactionary, which is not good. And that is because I have noticed with regularity the fear I see expressed from people about the constituency model, and because I hadn't really been paying attention to it, then when I see people just automatically jump on it, it's so bizarre looking to see people attack something in that manner. It's very strange. You'll say to these people, for instance, I've talked to Paul, explain your position. He won't talk about his. He'll talk about what's wrong with the constituency model. So that gives me pause, and it makes me wonder what it is about the constituency model that scares everybody so much. But that still isn't a good enough reason to support something. For me, I have to really believe in something in order to really start pushing for it. So I believe in the principle of self-determination. And this thing about what Jabari is saying about we're using a false construct, I don't think that's true. I think it's implicit in anything we say that the people who will be doing this, whatever color they are, they'll be mission-driven. We're not going to go and just... The worst thing that Mary Frances Berry and that crew did for black folks is they set this thing up now that whenever you see or think about black people doing things, they effed up so much that now we don't even trust each other. So that's something I don't want to color what you hear when you think about a black woman in a position on the board. Everybody won't be Bessie Wash. So the main thing I would like to do, I don't want to hear any more about this thing being invalid and illegitimate. It is not an invalid and illegitimate proposal. I think it's got legs, but I don't think it's going to happen now. Maybe there's something we can do over the next year to make it more palatable to people and to make it more practical. I hope so. But if there's any way we can get the principle of self-determination in this thing, that's what I'd like to work toward.
Okay, we need to cut. Your short comment was 4.5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just so you know. We need to take a break. So, yeah, it's a one-minute break. Nobody has to go anywhere. They're just changing the tapes. Yeah, the CDs.
I have a question.
I believe you. But we got Ray's name.
That's first generation. I think it's wonderful. And the thing is as I was growing up, you know, I didn't realize, I thought everybody was like that, but everybody knew.
Okay, folks, we're back on. We're back on. We're back on. Hello? Hello? What part of we're back on is not clear?
I'm just getting so witty.
I know. I'm just so clever, I don't know what to do with myself. Could somebody, Serene, if you're going out there, if you see any of the board members, somewhere back on, thank you. Manager? Could everybody, thank you. Okay, we were up to Ray. Folks, okay. Do you want to sit down again? I'm sorry, you want to sit down? Paul, do you want to sit down? No? No?
I didn't ask a question.
No, she didn't ask a question of Paul. There were some questions in what she said, but it was not a question of Paul. So if Paul could sit down. Ray.
Okay. I disagree completely with Jabari that somehow the discussions to take place here are not important and that we should move forward because the business at hand is bylaws. Indeed, bylaws, a major role of the bylaws is to carry the mission now. And that's what we're doing now. I think that one of the central roles of the mission is to guarantee participation of people who have been left out. It is central to bylaws discussion. And also some statements have been made that somehow this is a model that is, evil and that rejected by many, many people in New York. And this is not so. There are individuals involved in this process who reject it and who reject the, even not what even consider it for whatever reason. Or, well, I don't mean to dismiss the reason, but for different sets of reasons that I personally do not share. And I would point to the fact that the great majority of the lab has endorsed the model, at least its major features. And it is also reflective of people who represent various communities. And that's why they sit on the lab. And that, to a great extent...
Please, folks.
I did not interrupt folks. Anybody else, okay?
Yeah, please. Don't... Patty,
I'm speaking my opinion. And that we haven't had any polls, but I suspect that if we were indeed given enough time to discuss these issues with the New York community, that the majority of the population of New York would support this model. And that so that...
Folks, please, stop calling out.
And... So I think these issues being discussed now are central to looking at the future of this corporation and how we implement, where we implement the mission. And I said again, the participation of the broadest amount of individuals within the listening areas, particularly people who have been kept up before.
Okay, I have David, Jabari, and then myself, and then we'll see where we are with you all also, because I got about 10 people out there who want to speak.
Well, this is obviously a very important issue. I think that no matter what proposals come before us, I'm not that concerned. I mean, it's important to know the breadth of support that a proposal has and the amount of work that has, you know, been put into bringing it forth.
Right.
But the proposal has to stand on its own independently. I agree with Janice. And we need to be positive and find something that we can support. As I said before, I cannot support this model in any of its constructs. I think that, you know, we are trying to achieve diversity on so many levels, primarily on the air. We need to, in order to do that, we need to have diversity within the organization, obviously, or perhaps not obvious to some. We need to have diversity. How do we achieve that? Do we achieve that by creating divisions and distinctions between people and saying we have to have a person of this ilk, and that because they're of that ilk, they will have a perspective that is unique and distinct from a person of another so-called category? I reject that. I think we need to have true diversity, not just apparent diversity. I think the way we get that is not by legislating our morality or our ethics, but by engaging them and by critically pursuing them and bumping our heads up against the wall and making the mistakes, but also making the efforts. And so I don't think that this can be done through rules. It has to be done through heartfelt effort. I frankly also am not confident that some of these proposals are legal. Perhaps even the KPFA proposal might be deemed, will be reviewed by a lawyer. I would support the KPFA proposal. I think primarily if we look at the method of choice voting or other kinds of proportional representation voting that are available, where these have been engaged in municipalities, which as we've been reminded constantly, we are not a municipality, but they've been engaged, these choice voting methods, and have been found to be quite successful in achieving representation of diverse views. Not just diverse looking people, but diverse thinking and speaking people. And I think that if we have a board that does not have a person of X category, that we have somehow failed, I reject that notion. If we have programming that does not include X category, then we indeed have failed. But if we have management, governance, and participatory leadership and involvement amongst people, by virtue of the fact that we don't have X category in a certain slot, that does not equate with failure. If we fail to try to bring everybody in that does, and I think that saying, oh, okay, we've got somebody of this, that, and that, oh, we've done our job, that ain't true. And I think it's a wonderful motivation to do this. I think that we should look at choice voting. Thank you.
Okay, Jabari.
Jabari, I have a number of questions, but I'll just ask this one central question. If these requirements are going to be mandated per the bylaws, what is the consequence? What is the consequence or consequences of these diversity goals not being achieved through an election process?
Yeah, Carol's going to answer.
Under the KPFA proposal, which does not go into the detailed breakdown, but does require 50% women and 50% people of color, we have a number of votes that it takes. Under proportional representation, essentially, if there are 10 seats open, you need 1/10 of the vote plus one to get a seat. If we don't get 50% of the of women who get 10% of the vote plus one, we elevate someone and bump somebody off to get that seat. However, there's a floor. They have to have at least half the number of votes required to have won the seat. If nobody meets that criterion, that meets the bottom line cutoff of number of votes, then we seat the next person in line and we fill it with a man because we didn't have a woman that met the minimum criteria. So the seat is not left empty. The next in order man takes that seat that should have gone to a woman but didn't get enough votes.
Okay.
So there is the consequence is that if you don't get enough votes or enough candidates, you don't have to do it.
And this is where I have a quandary. just on mechanics of it.
It works, by the way.
If you say it's a requirement, it really isn't a requirement, and it's a goal, then it doesn't really need to be in the bylaws, because that's a policy statement. Because then you work toward that anyway. So if for the matter for the purposes of the construction of the bylaws, if it's really not a requirement, in other words, if you don't do this, these boards are not considered to be duly constituted boards. Okay? But it is a goal and a it's a goal to achieve, but not a bar to the seating of a local advisory board, local station board, then it really doesn't need to be in the bylaws as a requirement, because you're operating as if it is not a requirement, and so we shouldn't fake these things out. I mean, if we're going to put real things in here, then we should abide by them in a real way, and that's just another reason why I think this shouldn't be in the bylaws. This should be as a policy statement, because that's really what I'm hearing you saying. So that's just another reason why I don't think it belongs in the bylaws. If you want to do it, make it a policy issue.
Okay. I see the 10 people's hands who have gone up out there. I want to say a few things here, too. One is that I want to just quickly respond to something that Ray said. I have had, and again, I've said this very clearly since I first heard even the vaguest notions of the constituency model, before it even became known as the constituency model in New York, I have had criticisms, and political or theoretical or ideological, whatever word you want to use, differences with the approach for this institution at this point in our life. That does not mean I think it is evil, right? I have had political differences with it, and as have other people. And just because people disagree with it doesn't mean either that the motivation of the people who have brought it forth is being criticized or disagreed with, or the intent or the objective or what they're trying to do with it. I have no disagreement with any of that. It's that I don't think it's the best method to achieve the goal that I think we share in terms of diversity and inclusiveness and self-representation and bringing the voices of different communities to bear on the structure here, on the institution. So the difference is not... Some people may think that it's evil, but I just want to be clear. I, and I think many other people, do not characterize it or the intentions of the people as evil or misguided or anything like that. It's just a difference. that's one thing. Second thing is that I honestly do not believe that the desired results that I think we share, I think there's a lot more commonality in what we want to see happen in terms of diversity and inclusiveness. I don't think the key to that is in either or any of the models I've seen. It is in the outreach. It is in the programming that goes on. It is in the connecting with people. So I feel personally pretty flexible. So I want then just a workable model, right? And one of my problems with the earlier versions of the constituency model is that I didn't think it was very workable. I think it was going to be very difficult in the practical implementation of it. But I think staying focused on the outreach issues is critical to achieving the bigger goals that we want here. The other thing is for me that's been motivating or shaping my view of all this is... Again, as I've said, and you're probably all sick of hearing it from me by now, is that I really want us to be, through these bylaws and through the other work that we do, building a strong national network. So that leads me to wanting the uniformity of the election model. I don't want each station area deciding its own election model. And I think that that's one reason why I'm open to the proposal that Paul read to us, because I think it provides greater uniformity than some of the earlier proposals I've heard. And I think that that is important. That's how people start to identify as part of a national network, not only identifying with their own station, but they're sharing an experience that other voters in this system are having, you know, around the network. And then finally, I think that there has not been and again, I don't mean this to sound like I'm accusing anybody of being stupid or not understanding things or whatever, but I'm not sure that there's been a full enough appreciation of proportional representation and how that really does allow differing and in some cases minority constituencies and points of views to end up on your board. And partially it's because we're not used to it. That's not the way we vote in this country, and most organizations that most of us are in don't use that yet, right? More and more are beginning to use it, but so we're not familiar with it. So I'm not critical of anybody, but I do think that proportional representation as a voting system can very much help us, my understanding of it anyway, could be wrong, can very much help us achieve the goals that we want. So that's just my overview of this thing. That having said all that, therefore, I feel very open to the proposal that was put forth, because I also know that though some of you have applauded for what I've said, it doesn't mean that everybody agrees with me, and there probably are still some differences in the room, and that I think maybe this is a way to move forward, and I would, you know, urge us to seriously focus on this as a way to move forward. So, now it's 11 o'clock. Let me just say, I'm sorry, I have to do just a brief housekeeping kind of thing. The lunch.